now, from studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, got the professor here with you today. Glad you're joining us here on Genesis Communications and radio stations all over America. I'm Jim Brown. Glad to have you spend a little time as we get caught up on what's happened during the past week. I'm back at our flagship station, WJBO, in Baton Rouge this week after traveling for several weeks. Gosh, I want to thank all the folks at the University of North Carolina up in Chapel Hill. Hey, I had the great honor of attending my 50th anniversary since the time I graduated up in Chapel Hill. Spent 4 days up there last week with a whole series of dinners and receptions and lectures. I'd not seen many of those folks in 50 years, but it was great to renew old acquaintances and see that maybe we got a long life left in us. A wonderful thing up there. And you folks up in New York City, I don't know what you think of your mayor, but listening to us at WVNJ, 1160 AM, one of our biggest stations we have, Mayor Bloomberg was the graduation speaker, did an excellent job. He played to the crowd. You know, if you know Chapel Hill, we've got a lot of listeners in the North Carolina area, Mockville, WDSL, Statesville, WSIC, a number of North Carolina stations. And basketball dominates the Tar Heel State. A lot of you follow sports know that football is not that big up there, but boy, basketball is the big event. And Mayor Bloomberg catered to his audience, told some funny stories, made some analogies involving the Duke-North Carolina rivalry, and played to the crowd about the whole basketball world, and brought it in focus on graduation, the challenges ahead for young people. They certainly have a great deal of challenges in terms of what many of us face for job opportunities and a variety of other things. But Bloomberg did a first-rate job. I was very impressed, and I think if I were living in New York, I'd be very proud of having Mayor Bloomberg run. Some talk of him running for president. I don't see that happening. You can't run as a third-party ticket in the state of whether in the U.S. We've talked about that before. My graduation 50 years ago had President John F. Kennedy, who spoke 50 years ago this week at my graduation at the University of North Carolina, then Mayor Bloomberg this week. So they've done a first-rate job of having excellent speakers and a first-rate graduation program, and I'm proud to be a graduate of the Tar Heel State. Go Tar Heels up that way. Got to pull for the Tigers where I live down in Louisiana. I pull for all the teams all over the place. So wherever you happen to live, I'll pull for your home team. New York Times today, in this Sunday edition, the New York Times has a major op-ed piece that I thought was interesting from several perspectives. I guess the most important perspective for me was that it was written by my daughter, Campbell Brown. A lot of you who've emailed me know that my daughter used to be a former news anchor for CNN as well as NBC. She may be back on television in the future. I don't know any specifics about that. But in any event, she wrote an op-ed piece. And the lead article in the op-ed piece says, it's about the president, and her charge is, stop condescending to women. And here's what she says. I thought it was interesting because women's voters are a key issue in this campaign. A lot of people thought that the Republicans pounding on social issues in the presidential primary hurt them with women voters. That Rick Santorum, particularly, when he ran so much on issues like contraception, abortion, so many social issues, when you see that 86% of women are concerned about the economy, about jobs, and down at the bottom of the list, in terms of the polls at least, were some of these hot-button social issues. And so there was a lot of criticism of Republican candidates running and playing up these social issues. Romney, to his credit, seems like he's much more focused on the economy and jobs and making that his focus, not getting tied down in these social issues that are so controversial in this country today. And here's what my daughter Campbell says. This is in this week's New York Times. If you want to read it, you can pull up the New York Times and just go to the opinion pages. You'll see Campbell Brown. Easier way to do it, quite frankly, is to go to my website, which is www.jimbrownusa.com. And you'll see it there as the lead article on my blog right there with her picture and the whole article. But what she says, and I'll read you the first paragraph here. She says, when I listen to President Obama speak to and about women, He sometimes sounds too paternalistic for my taste. In numerous appearances over the years, most recently at the Bernard graduation, he's made reference to how women are smarter than men. It's also tired the kind of fake praise showered upon those one views as easily to impress. As I listen, I'm always bracing for the old go-to cliche, behind every great man is a great woman. And Campbell goes on to say that some women are smarter than men and some aren't. But to suggest to women that they deserve dominance instead of equality is at best a cheap applause line. And she goes on to analyze that women are being pandered to, particularly now by the Democrats, by saying, well, you're tougher and you can get things done and government is here to help you. And she goes on to some length to discuss a number of her personal experiences of women who maybe lost their jobs as single mothers. The fact that they weren't looking for a government handout. They were going to pull. They wanted opportunity, but they wanted to be able to pull themselves up from their own bootstraps and try to make some progress and not be pandered to quite as much. So it's going to be interesting to see this dynamic, how it plays out in this election, whether or not, because the Republicans have taken some hits, quite frankly, and Romney's big challenge is to bring it back around to the economy and to jobs, because women, just like men, are looking for job opportunities. They want to be able to support their families and pay the bills and not catering so much to these. So backing away from those social issues. And then Obama, at least according to Campbell Brown, my daughter, is saying that there is too much pandering on the part of the Democrats. That's going to turn a number of women off. She goes on to say, I'll read one more quote here. She says, Mr. Obama is trying too hard. He's employing a tone that comes across as grating and even condescending. He really ought to drop it. Most women don't want to be patted on the head or treated as wards of the state. They simply want to be given a chance to succeed based on their talent and their skills. To borrow a phrase from our president's favorite president, Abraham Lincoln, they want, quote, an open field and a fair chance. And this shouldn't be asking too much in the 21st century. So I think she makes some good points, and see how this dynamic pulls apart. And to see how women are going to react. Obviously, many women voters are negatively reacting to the efforts on the part of some Republicans to intervene in their private lives, social issues that certainly have a place for debate, but seem to dominate so much of the rhetoric that went on in the Republican primary for president. Romney's shied away from that. Not shied away. I think to his credit, he's saying, look, he picked up on James Carville, the raging Cajun down here where I live in Louisiana. Carville in 1992 told Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. And in 2012, right now with the presidential election about, what, 5-6 months away, James Carville's right on. It's the economy, stupid. And Romney seems to have picked up on that. Now that he's gotten through all of the give and take of the Republican primary, it looks like he's picked up on the fact that it is the economy. That's where the focus should be. And that's where the direction should go if he wants to be elected. On the flip side, what Campbell is saying is that, look, Obama may be catering too much, condescending, patting on the head, trying to play up women a little too much, where, again, they just want an equal opportunity. Want to see that article by my daughter, Campbell Brown? Go to my website, jimbrownusa.com, or you can get it in the op-ed page of the New York Times this Sunday. Major article. Proud of you, kid. You did a good job with the article. Happened to agree to your conclusions. Hey, this is Jim Brown and Jim Brown's Common Sense. We're going to take a little break. Come on back and talk about a number of issues affecting you today. My website, jimbrownusa.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
If you're a contractor working in homes built before 1978, you could be fined. Fined up to $37,500.
$37,500
per day
per violation.
If you're a landlord or property manager with rental properties
built before 1978,
you too could be fined.
Fined up to $37,500.
$37,500.
We're Kachina.
Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
Helping contractors and landlords
comply with the new lead paint laws.
Avoid the penalties.
If you work on pre-78 houses,
you must certify your firm.
You must be a certified renovator to test for lead paint.
If positive,
you must use lead safe work practices.
You must keep a tight paper trail in case of an audit.
This law is enforced by the EPA or your state.
If you remodel or rent properties built before 78,
call Kachina for free information
and a free phone audit.
Call 888-800-5224.
888-800-5224.
KachinaLeadPaintSolutions.com.
The call is free.
The audit is free.
888-800-5224.
Kachina Lead Paint Solutions.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control. Your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home cooked meals, you can cut your food cost in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633. Or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More of the best for less guaranteed.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Have you been following at all this controversy involving Chase J.P. Morgan, the huge bank and investment company that initially the reports were had lost $2 billion by some finagling and some poor management oversight? Now it looks like it's $3 billion and going up. And questions are raised about this whole idea of too big to fail. Now, look, I don't care if a bank goes out and is irresponsible and loses money and goes out of business as long as it doesn't affect you and me. But you see, we found out during this bailout situation that we have to put up the money. These so-called investment houses or banks were, quote, too big to fail, whatever that means, so they let the U.S. government bail them out. And many of these banks and investment companies still have not paid back billions of dollars that they got from the federal government. So it's concerning to me that J.P. Morgan Chase now may be on a path that could cause some serious problems. Now, they're a huge bank, and this hit that they took is not putting them in danger of going under or anything like that or getting a government bailout this stage, but it's going down the path of what we thought was going to be stopped, some of their lending practices that raise some serious questions. So I thought I'd try to explain it to you very simply. Number one, I had to teach myself what it meant very simply. And I'll tell you why it hits me personally and maybe hits some of you. I drive each day by my local bank. It's a Chase branch of J.P. Morgan. Now look, folks, I don't have much to say, but I count on my bank to invest my money. Now get this difference. Not bet my hard-earned dollars, but invest it. There's a big difference between betting and investing. And I want to explain this to you, because what we're seeing Chase has done, and many of these institutions did, is they're betting your money instead of investing your money. Now look, if I want to gamble for winnings, I'll take my chances on the red or the black or the slot machines or the crap tables or whatever at the local casino. I don't need or want my bank to lay down a bet on some complicated credit default swap or some exotic roll of the financial dice. You hear all these terms. I don't know what they mean. But that's exactly what Chase has been doing with my money. They've taken a big hit, and look, folks, I'm not happy. I don't know about you, but I'm not happy. I don't want to see us go down this road again. It costs you and I as taxpayers way too much money. J.P. Morgan Chase put a lady named Ina Drew in charge as chief investment officer. They pay her $14 million a year to grow my little investment. And she's got a big team of numerous other highly paid executives, all making millions and millions of dollars, and their job is to follow her lead and see that my small savings continue to grow. But she bungled her responsibility to me and millions of other Chase investors, and now she's been fired. And I say, good riddance. Don't bet, invest. Now, let me tell you what I mean on that. This $2 million investment loss, it was involved in some very complex investment, so I thought were investments, but were bets. And there was a make-the-big-bucks mentality rather than focus on the quality of the loans that were being made. Now, don't start lecturing me out there about taking chances on how any bank's investment can lose money. I certainly understand that. I think most of Chase investors understand that a bank investment can go bad. Any bank should go into an investment with the understanding that it is supplying funds to a borrower that will create value. And yes, there's risk when the bank business fails. I understand that, but you're investing in a bank. But a responsible bank is going to review business plans and be sure there's collateral and see that the investment makes sense. And if the investment is sound, then everybody wins. The bank makes a profit. The business is set on sound financial footing, and my investment at J.P. Morgan Chase continues to grow. Value is created that's good for the whole economy. You know, when a loan works out, then that company is hiring more people and helping the economy to grow. But, now here's the difference. When J.P. Morgan bets my money, then a whole different end result comes out. You see, there are winners and there are losers. It's called a zero-sum game. And the whole point is to beat the odds and win the bet. No new value is created, and the whole transaction is simply shifting dollars from winner to loser. And that's exactly what my bank was doing, betting my money instead of investing my money. Well, you say, look, J.P. Morgan Chase is awash with taxpayers-insured deposits. You know, you always hear about guaranteed by the FDIC. We hear that all the time. Not true for any investments I might have with J.P. Morgan, because they're an investment entity. If they lose, I lose. And, of course, there are extra fees on my Chase account, as well as some of my tax dollars are charging me. You see, I got to back them up with tax dollars if the account goes bad, and they're charging me extra fees to pay the FDIC for this insurance. So it's not free. In other words, I'm going to have to pay through higher bank fees and taxes for the insurance to protect what savings I have with Chase. And as far as my investments with J.P. Morgan, that's their investment wing, I'm on my own with no protection. Now, my banker, I don't know who your banker is, my banker is a guy named Jamie Dimon. Well, I don't know him, but I read about him in the paper all the time, and he's the top dog at J.P. Morgan Chase, so I consider him my banker. Bankers Nationwide last year, you recall, took big pay cuts because of the economic doldrums and the lack of bank profits. Banks weren't making any money. Not my guy. Old Jamie was paid $23 million and apparently is in line for a hefty pay raise this year. Now, look, I don't mind Dimon making the big bucks as long as he's producing. But the buck stops with him. And he apparently knew about the questionable loan portfolio problems for a good while. And then here's what really concerns me about my bank. This guy's got a conflict of interest. I was surprised to learn that Jamie Dimon, the president of my bank, Chase J.P. Morgan, he sits on the board of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. This is the federal oversight board that regulates banks all over the East Coast. So let me get this straight. Dimon sits on the federal board that regulates his own bank? Well, you can't get much more insider than that. How can Dimon be expected to regulate in the public interest his own bank that is regulated by the bank's oversight board on which he sits? That just stinks. Look, the Fed conflict is so obvious it defies any explanation. For a decade, this Fed has failed to pick up on significant Wall Street threats. We saw that with this debacle in 2008, all this too big to fail. So the board, it seems, is controlled by the very voices that have been at the root of the failure all along. You follow me? J.P. Morgan Chase, despite this $2 million loan, no, look, they're not going to go bankrupt, like I said. Hey, but after all, even if they get into trouble, they're too big to fail, aren't they? And they have this marvelous safety net protecting them no matter how irresponsible they may be. It's called the American taxpayer. You and me, and we continue to get stuck with the bill. My commentary on my bank, J.B. Morgan. Hey, Jim Brown here on Jim Brown's Common Sense. Website is www.jimbrownusa.com. Freshen up your coffee. We're going to come back right with a guest and talk about what's happening over in the Middle East right here on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus meat eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, it happened about 6 or 7 weeks ago. The world is still focusing and discussing what happened in the huge coup of finding Osama bin Laden. The guy is now dead, and of course, the CIA and the Defense Department are patting themselves on the back, saying that Obama was a huge threat to our nation's safety, and this is a huge intelligence coup for the CIA. I want to get our Middle East expert. Gareth Porter's been on the show on several occasions. He's written a great book, by the way, called Imbalance of Power and the Road to War in Vietnam. You can find it on our website at jimbrownusa.com. I want to get his thoughts about what really happened in this bin Laden situation, and should we be patting ourselves on the back, and how big a threat this guy really was. Gareth, good to talk to you this morning. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Good morning to you.
I'd like to get your thoughts, and you've written about this, because the conventional wisdom is that, you know, that the intelligence service of America found this guy, and then the reports are he's a major threat. You know, you got the impression from some of the news reports that were getting fed this information that bin Laden was still pulling the strings of all the terrorists in the world and was kind of operating this huge command post where he lived. Is that a fair picture of what happened or not, in your opinion?
Well, it turns out that was sheer nonsense. This was propaganda that I think you correctly characterized as the intelligence community, the CIA specifically, patting itself on the back. And also, I have to say, giving the White House a very big propaganda coup, at least what they were able to present to the American public as a propaganda coup, and clearly President Obama has exploited this for his political advantage in the coming presidential election campaign. There's no question about it that the CIA and the White House together figured that they would reap huge political benefits from being able to claim that they had, in fact, caught the world's number one terrorist, that, as you say, this place where he was hiding out in Abbottabad, Pakistan, was the terrorist command post for the entire world, that Osama bin Laden actually was running the day-to-day affairs of Al-Qaeda, that he was, in fact, making plans for future attacks and so on and so forth.
Well, but let me say this carefully. I can't fault whether it be the Republicans in office, the Democrats in office. You know, this guy, reputation-wise, is really a bad apple, and so as a consequence, if you are in office, look, I was in political office for 28 years. Anytime something good happened, I took full credit for it. If it was bad, I blamed it on the guy that was there before me. So I can understand that, but I guess I don't mind the posturing as long as you're being given the facts to the public as to what happened and are characterizing the person involved in a truthful vein. Because, you know, we learn from our mistakes, we learn from history. But what concerns me is not that Obama took credit, but that the information we were getting was just not correct, the how they found him, and then his continuing huge power. That's what really gets to me. So,
that's right. That's exactly my point in the story that I did some weeks ago. And in fact, I mean, you have to begin with the reality that they did not know the actual situation. They had only scanty information about the actual situation regarding bin Laden's relationship with the rest of the Al-Qaeda leadership, let alone the rather distant affiliates of Al-Qaeda around the world in various places, particularly in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen, in Somalia, and so forth. And so, you know, to actually be honest, they would have had to say, we'll let you know once we've gone through the papers that we've found, the documents that we've found in the bin Laden compound, what the actual situation was. And, of course, one would then have to trust that the White House and the CIA would be truthful in their reporting on this, which would be pretty generous. But in fact, they didn't wait. The point is that they immediately had an instant propaganda line, which they said was absolutely without any question that we know that this is the case. And as the documents themselves came to be analyzed, the story then began to filter out, began to leak out to various news media that the situation was not nearly so clear-cut. There were indications, I think, within a matter of weeks that bin Laden was not so clear that bin Laden was, in fact, the commander of the rest of Al-Qaeda, that he was in control of the organization's operations. There were some indications that, in fact, he was, you know, having his own ideas, but they were no more than that. They were simply one man's suggestions to Al-Qaeda, not the person who was in day-to-day command or who was actually telling Al-Qaeda what it was going to do by any means.
So,
that's part of the story that I wrote, that, in fact, we now know that bin Laden was not in command of Al-Qaeda, that he had been booted out of the leadership very diplomatically and in a political way, but nevertheless he was removed from the leadership of Al-Qaeda, and he was put in a place physically where he was unable to maintain the kind of day-to-day control or even week-to-week or month-to-month control that he had in 2003 before this decision was made by the Al-Qaeda Shura.
So he was, you know, he was an old guy. He was probably had arthritis like I do and kind of walked with a little bad back and all the things that all of us do as they were getting old. And it looks like more and more that you look at it that he was pretty much sequestered in this compound. And although there'd be information shared through courier that would take maybe months to get to him, that he really wasn't all that relevant to so many of the terrorist activities that continued to take place. Is that a fair evaluation?
He was no longer relevant. He was an appendage of Al-Qaeda. He was still being, you know, kept alive, kept in his hiding place because he, of course, was the name that many Islamists around the world recognized and that he was regarded as valuable to al-Qaeda's leadership for that reason. In other words, they were still trying to raise money in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere in the Middle East to support their operations, and certainly bin Laden's name was useful for that. But that was about it. He didn't really have any other function than that. He had continued to make all these proposals, but the point that I make in my story is that there's not a single instance that the White House and the CIA have been able to point to where bin Laden had made a proposal for an operation which was even begun to be carried out by the organization itself.
And that certainly is no reason not to go ahead and get the guy. I mean, he was a bad apple that caused massive damage, and symbolically it was important to us to kind of get our feet back out on the ground, get focused again as a country. So I don't diminish the fact that we should have done everything we could to get him. Now, the next question is...
Let me just put into the conversation one point that I think has not been discussed at all. I didn't get into it in my story, but I think it's very much worth considering that the White House made a decision essentially to go in to kill bin Laden rather than to capture him, as well as the courier who was the source of extremely valuable information about al-Qaeda. If they really were concerned primarily about intelligence on al-Qaeda, they should have captured bin Laden as well as the courier to interrogate them and to get the maximum amount of information they could about this organization.
Gareth, I don't want to cut you off. I've got to take a little break here right now. I want to come back. We're talking with Gareth Porter, written a great book about imbalance of power in the road to war in Vietnam on my website at jimbrownusa.com. I want to come back and ask him about this very thing, about why we didn't capture bin Laden. We'll come right back on Jim Brown's Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the laws state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jamb plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your leg will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for Patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, we're talking about Osama bin Laden and the circumstances in which he was both captured and killed. And there's political ramifications, and there's also intelligence ramifications. My guest with me right now is Gareth Porter. He's an investigative journalist. He's written a number of articles and books, a book on our website, Imbalance of Power and the Road to War in Vietnam. Fascinating book that I enjoyed reading. You can get it off my website at jimbrownusa.com. Gareth, before our break, we were talking about the fact that apparently the orders were to kill bin Laden, not to capture him. And from a political point of view, what would be the losses from a strictly gut political view if these two fellows, several, the whole group was captured rather than killed? I wonder why we didn't capture.
I think you have to go back to the controversy that erupted over giving trials to the senior al-Qaeda operatives who had been captured and had been detained in Guantanamo Bay. In the U.S. detention facility there. I think there was a great political sensitivity to the whole idea of giving a trial to bin Laden, and I think that they preferred to have him dead, that was a much easier situation to handle politically for the White House. I think that has to be regarded as the only explanation for the decision to kill him rather than to capture him. And the account that we have, or the accounts that we have of the operation, make it very clear that there was no real resistance, that he was unarmed, basically they made the decision to kill him, well before the operation was launched. So then it does raise the question, as I posed the question just before the break, why not capture him, because he and particularly the couriers who were also killed, the courier, specifically the senior courier for bin Laden, was also killed in the operation rather than making any effort to capture him. And I think that does give away the fact that this was not done with the thought in mind of trying to maximize U.S. intelligence on al-Qaeda. So my view is that there was a balancing between the political effects on one hand and the intelligence that could have been gathered on the other, and the decision was made on the basis of the political impact that this would have in the United States.
Yeah, that's a tough call because, as you say, we sure gave up the opportunity to garner an awful lot of information, particularly from those couriers, and capturing those couriers, what you've still gotten the high-profile result of bin Laden being dead, and I guess the same political ramifications took place on burying him at sea. They just didn't want to make a martyr out of the guy. And
right, but bear in mind that the courier, the guy whose alias was al-Kuwaiti, who supposedly the CIA says led them to bin Laden, but which I challenge in my article, and we can talk about that momentarily, that courier actually was in touch with the rest of the leadership of al-Qaeda through presumably his contact with the second in command. So, you know, that's a very big thing to give up in the balancing that obviously took place.
No doubt about it. No doubt, which raises a lot of questions, and yet... You know, I guess they weigh the political consequences and the fact that, well, there's just relief. The guy was dead to probably a majority of the Americans, so just don't go there. Don't go in those directions. And Congress, that ought to have a full hearing on issues like that, just so we learn from our mistakes and learn from the past, has not seen fit to call for any investigation or do any specific digging into the details of what happened.
Well, so, it's a very telling point. I think you're right. Congress had no hearings. The news media, there's not a peep, not a single reference that I've been able to find in the news media saying, well, wait a minute, what about the intelligence that could have been garnered by capturing him? And did the United States really make any effort to do that? So we have a system right now that is, I would say, just broken in terms of a discussion of the fundamental issues that have to be raised about this kind of operation.
What about the other issue that I see you've raised over the role of the CIA that this was portrayed in the press is all an American operation, complete secrecy involving Pakistan and surrounding countries. They had nothing to do with it. In fact, they might have even been involved in some way in protecting this guy. What did you find in terms of what you've seen as to was it just all completely CIA and U.S. gathering information? They don't give credit to anybody else.
Well, this is another what I would call a big cover-up by the CIA itself in terms of the actual process by which they were able to finally locate bin Laden's hideout in Abbottabad, Pakistan, because the original story that was put out in the aftermath of the raid that killed bin Laden was that, in fact, they had done this interrogation of senior al-Qaeda operatives at Guantanamo Bay, and they had been able to get the name of the courier, the senior courier, the primary courier for bin Laden, from those interrogations, and that had ultimately led them then through a circuitous route to Abbottabad.
Right.
That turned out to have been simply a lie. The fact is that they never got the real name of the courier. All they ever got was an alias. They had no idea who that real person was. They had no idea how to find that person. The second story that was given out a few days later was that they had intercepted a phone conversation between the courier in question, al-Kuwaiti, and someone else who they had, in fact, been, phone they had been tapping. And that had, in fact, led them to Abbottabad. Well, it turns out that was really not true either, because, if you carefully read the briefing that was given by the senior intelligence official, unnamed, to reporters, I believe it was May 7th, if I remember the exact date, the transcript is available on the DOD website, and if you carefully read the transcript, you find that senior intelligence official acknowledges that they had to have a tip from the Pakistani intelligence service. They don't identify it as the Pakistani intelligence service, but they say the Pakistanis gave them a tip which led them to focus more fully on the Abbottabad compound. Well, that's a very big admission, which was not reported by the U.S. news media, by the way, at the time. I can't find a single reference to it in news coverage.
Yeah,
that was obviously the key. And what I was able to find out from my contact with a retired brigadier general in the Pakistani army. He was not in ISI. He'd never been in intelligence. But he had contacts in the ISI because one of his former officers under his command in Kuram Agency in the tribal northwest had given him access to information which was not available to foreign journalists. And he was able to find out that the ISI had carried out a routine investigation of the person who owned the Abbottabad compound, who turned out to be, in fact, the courier for bin Laden, because he had been spreading a story about why he was taking a monthly visit to Peshawar. And it turns out that that investigation showed that the story he was giving didn't add up. It was not accurate. And so they began to get increasingly suspicious about this person who owned the compound, and they tipped off the CIA, guess when? In the summer of 2010. And that is what led then ultimately to the CIA beginning to try to penetrate the compound, and ultimately to their decision that, in fact, it was likely that that's where bin Laden was hiding out.
Gareth, I've got to wind down here because we're close to the top of the hour. Fascinating, and it just shows it seems like it. You know, we're putting our fingers in the dike, but there's no overall plan that needs to be put together. I just hope we learn from our mistakes because we've sure made a bunch of them, but we always appreciate you putting it in perspective for us. Thanks for joining the show. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Take care. Gareth Porter has been my guest. Imbalance of Power and the Road to War in Vietnam is his book. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Moving towards the top of the hour, we're going to get some news. Come on back and talk a chilling thing that new studies out that some foods you eat could be just as addictive as cocaine. Can you believe that? We'll talk about it. Also got some other updates to give you here on the Jim Brown Show. My website, again, is www.jimbrownusa.com. You can sign up for my weekly column. I'm another of the news sources right there, so I hope you'll check it out. Checking up your coffee. We'll come back at the top of the hour. Jim Brown's Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.